The burnt orange heresy carries itself with the classy coolness of those 1960s Euro thrillers, with beautiful people who centrally sip wine and pose for one another in airy Italian villas, and whose sense of chilly detachment will inevitably be shattered by a single instance of betrayal and violence. It certainly carries itself with the sort of pomposity you'd expect from a movie with a title like The Burnt Orange Heresy. The movie, based on a 1971 neo-noir novel by writer Charles Wilford, mostly works because of its cheap thrills befitting an airport paperback, and its twists and turns range from unexpected to ludicrous. But it also has something to say about the fickleness of the art world, and about the push and pull between artists and critics. Its sense of cool is typified by the slick posture of its star, the Danish actor Claes Bang. I first took notice of him in the surreal satire The Square, wherein he played a snooty art curator. Here, he expands his repertoire by playing a snooty art critic named James Figueras, to whom we're introduced at a symposium delivered to American tourists in Italy. Figueras shows his audience an unremarkable abstract painting, but once he explains its tragic backstory, they're overcome with emotion about its meaning. But wait, that backstory is entirely fictional, and Figueras himself painted it in an afternoon. That, he argues, is the power of the critic. That's certainly a curious notion of what criticism is supposed to be, but then deception seems to be James's M.O. After his lecture, he strikes up a conversation with an audience member named Berenice, played by Elizabeth Debicki, and they almost immediately begin an affair, and he invites her along to stay at the country estate of eccentric art collector Joseph Cassidy, played by Mick Jagger. The getaway turns out to be something of a ruse. Cassidy tells Figueras that he had befriended a man named Jerome Debney, one of the art world's great recluses, who had a storied debut exhibition back in the 70s, shortly before all of his work was destroyed. Debney has become a cult figure in the decade since, and Cassidy knows that he's working on new art. He ensnares Figueras into a scheme wherein he'll get to know Denby, convince him to see his latest paintings, and get one for Cassidy's collection. Figueras does indeed rub elbows with Debney, who's played by Donald Sutherland as if he's stepping back into the dry detachment of Hawkeye Pierce. Debney won't agree to be interviewed by Figueras, but he befriends the younger couple anyway, and he's especially entranced by Berenice, who treats him like a human being rather than a historical figure to be revered. Figueras and Debney, meanwhile, butt heads. The critic believes that a great artist depriving the world from his work is a sin. The artist's stance is that his absence from the culture is a contribution unto itself. These heady conversations are window dressing to a plot that involves lies, double crosses, mistaken identities, and arson. It's fine as far as that sort of thing goes, but the movie reverts to silly potboiler mode in its final 15 minutes, with characters making decisions that seem ridiculous until we realize that the story couldn't advance otherwise. Still, the film got me thinking about the arbitrary and nebulous value of art. The idea that the signature scribbled in the bottom right-hand corner is the only thing separating a priceless painting from a worthless piece of canvas. In that sense, maybe the film is functioning as criticism itself. Or maybe, like the very title, The Burnt Orange Heresy, it doesn't mean anything significant at all, and all you need to do is stare at it hanging on the wall, looking pretty and distant in its gilded frame. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.